Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Readings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Fort Stockton Pioneer for Thursday, March 16th, 2023. 2023 Rodeo to be more fan-friendly, by Sean Yorks. It's hard to improve on an already award-winning rodeo, but the Fort Stockton Chamber of Commerce has done it. Fort Stockton's award-winning Comanche Springs Rodeo is set for next weekend, and rodeo fans are expecting a much-improved viewing experience. The 6 bucking chutes were relocated last January to the west wall of the Pecos County Coliseum, directly across from the grandstands, so everyone in attention can get the best view of the action as possible. The rodeo takes place March 23rd through the 25th. It's an upfront, live, in-action deal now available. Economic Development Corporation Director Remy Ramos said when the bucking chutes were located in January, the chutes were previously located on the north end of the building. Tickets went on sale in February and are available at the Chamber of Commerce office, at the door on performance night, or online at csrodeo.com. Free rodeo slack begins Thursday, March 23rd at 6:30 and is open to the public. The performance on Friday features a new theme for 2023, Family Night, beginning at 7:30. Adult tickets are $10 and all kids 12 and under get them free with an adult. The second performance takes place at 7:30 on Saturday, March 25th, when adult tickets are $10, kids 5 to 12 are $5, and kids under 5 are free. The rodeo dance is free and will feature live music from the State Line Band starting at 9. Family night will include fun and games for the kids. It's designed around the kids, Ramos said. He said that even more is in store for future rodeos, including a carnival. The Comanche Springs Rodeo is one of the United Professional Rodeo Association's most awarded rodeos. The rodeo is sanctioned by the UPRA, the Cowboys Professional Rodeo Association, and the New Mexico Rodeo Association. As of March 9th, prize money of $31,000 has been added, $3,050 for bareback, saddle bronc, tie-down, breakaway steer, wrestling, ranch bronc, and barrels, $3,500 for bull riding and $6,150 for team roping. Concessions will be available in the Civic Center during each performance, including soda, water, cotton candy, popcorn, pickles, and beer. All other concession sales will take place with vendors in the parking lot. Beer can only be purchased with tickets. Soda and water may be purchased with cash. Beer tickets are available for purchase at the ID table. Anyone who plans to purchase alcohol will need to obtain a wristband at the ID table by presenting a valid ID. The rodeo parade is set for 10 a.m. on Saturday. The parade starts at the corner of Dickinson and Rio, travels east to Main Street and south to Zero Stone Park. The parade is free to enter and all entries will be accepted. While forms will be accepted at the parade lineup point, the chamber asks that entries be returned to the Chamber of Commerce by noon on Thursday. The lineup for the parade begins at 9 a.m. at the Old Comanche School on Rio Street. The chamber reminds parade participants that no items are to be thrown due to the number of horses expected and safety concerns, but walkers are allowed to hand out items directly to those along the parade route. Anyone driving a motorized vehicle, such as go-karts or four-wheelers, must possess a valid driver's license. City Panther Pictures amend contract, by Sean Yorks. With the success of the new Fort Stockton Convention Center and the conjoining Panther Pictures, the Fort Stockton City Council amended the cleaning contract between the city and the movie theater on March 13th. The agreement was amended to include a biannual deep cleaning of the entire theater. The theater is maintained and operated by Lino and Colette Berrigan and their son Tristan. They have been doing very well, City Manager Frank Rodriguez said. We just wanted to make sure that it was documented inside the agreement. Tristan said the language in the original contract was too vague and just mentioned custodial duties. We didn't know that the theater was going to need a deep cleaning every year. The city, back in May, paid for the cleaning with Carpet Tech Odessa. They cleaned the chairs, carpet, and flooring. Tristan noticed last September that the chairs needed to be cleaned again and ensued by asked the city if they were going to be cleaning the theater in the early stages of 2023. I was told it was going to be our responsibility, so I felt that the contract needed to be amended so that that language is clearly stated that we're responsible for that financial burden, because this is something that, one, we didn't plan on or budget. One issue is the use of movie theater restrooms by people attending events at the convention center, which creates more work for the theater cleaning crew. Rodriguez noted that new restrooms have been completed and are ready to go in the main hall of the convention center. Since this is brought up, it would be a good idea to add that language in there, as well as custodial duties, since there isn't going to be anybody else using that restroom other than the people that go to the theater. To define that as well in the contract, Colette Berrigan asked how to prevent individuals who are attending another event in the main hall from using the movie theater's restrooms. Rodriguez said that that information would be provided to the entity renting the main hall, who will share it with the attendees. You can ask someone to do something, but it'll be some help on both parties to help out. Colette said the only thing she could think of was for the city to add another wall, curtain, or a barrier to prevent people from using the restrooms during events, or if they would be allowed to lock the theater restrooms when the theater is closed. Rodriguez said locking the restrooms would not be an option. My recommendation would be that they will not be locked when not in use. They'll be available and accessible if anybody needs to use them. Councilmember Reuben Falcon asked if Berrigan felt if the theater was established and could keep going. When we started this, the city council was pretty lenient on rent and things like that because we wanted you guys to get your feet on the ground. So do you guys see yourselves established and keep going for a while? I definitely do, Colette responded, adding that the theater was recently cleaned at a cost of more than $2,600. Now that we've gone past the experimental phase of this, if you're going to stay there for a while, I think we need to put a solid barrier up, Falcon said. Mayor Chris Alexander agreed that a double-door barrier would be needed. We want to be there forever, Colette reiterated. This is kind of my happy place. I go there instead of staying at the house. I think if we do have to do this, the cost of it is $5,200 a year for a full deep cleaning. We're probably going to have to increase prices. Our goal is not to do that. The council voted to amend the cleaning contract as requested, with no further discussion about the barriers. City fund balance reported at $11.3 million by Sean Yorks. Rocky Reeves of Smith & Reeves PC was unable to make it to Fort Stockton in time to give his presentation to the city council 2 weeks ago. But Reeves was in Fort Stockton in plenty of time Monday, and the presentation he gave about the city's final audit for fiscal year 2022 was a presentation worth waiting for. Reeves and his firm gave an unmodified opinion on the city's audit, which Reeves said is the best opinion that can be granted. The city's net position increased by $1.74 million. The total fund balance for the city is $11.3 million. Some of that is restricted, but the unrestricted part, this is just the general fund, is $10.8 million. That's general fund. Everything else is CVB debt service. The city brought in less money than anticipated, but also spent less than anticipated. In revenues, we thought we might receive $6.7 million. We actually got only $6.3 million, which is a small negative variance of $388,000. But you can't really control all that much of what happens with your revenues because it depends on collectability of taxes and all those things that you really don't have control over. But the city does have control over expenditures, and that's where it was fiscally responsible. We budgeted that we might spend $10.3 million. We actually only spent $9.1 million for a positive variance of $1.1 million. For business-type activities, Enterprise Funds is in a net position of $23.3 million. When cities are audited, they receive a GAO letter, and if they receive any kind of federal revenue, it is subject to what is called the Yellow Book Standard. Yellow Book standards are a separate set of procedures that are performed by your independent auditor. They're mostly in the area of financial reporting and compliance. The auditor issues a report that says those items were looked at, and if there were any findings, they would be set out for the city to review. No issues were found in the city's report. The best two words of an audit report is no findings. A finding would be something that is bad enough to be a significant deficiency or big enough to be a material weakness in the auditing of those things. The council voted to approve the audit report as presented. Your guide to local places to go and things to do. The American Legion Post 234 invites all veterans to a meeting at the Senior Citizens Center in Fort Stockton on Thursday, March 16th, starting at 6:30. Free beverage and snacks will be provided. For more information, contact Joni McGee at 290-1616. The Prowler softball hosts their first district home game of the season against Pecos on Friday, March 17th. Varsity at 5, JV follows at 6:30. The Fort Stockton Film Society presents Planet of the Apes at 7 p.m. on Saturday, March 18th at the Nelson Street Theater. First United Methodist Church in Fort Stockton invites you to worship with Westward Road Sunday, March 19th at 11 o'clock. This family travels the country spreading the good news. This is a non-denominational event. All who love God and are welcome to worship with First United Methodist Church. The First Baptist Church will hold next week's Lenten Luncheon on Tuesday, March 21st. The event is hosted by the First Baptist and First Methodist Churches. All are welcome. The Comanche Springs Rodeo is scheduled to take place Thursday, March 23rd through Saturday, March 25th. Tickets are now available at the Fort Stockton Chamber of Commerce or online at csrodeo.com. The Panther baseball team's next home game will be Friday, March 24th against Seminole. JV at 4, varsity at 7. County transfers funds to hospital with more as needed, by Sean Yorks. The Pecos County Commissioner's Court met in regular session March 13th and, among other routine business, transferred $355,000 to Pecos County Memorial Hospital to cover accounts payable, with an additional $400,000 on standby to make payroll in case the hospital did not receive funds it is expecting. You all had to approve up to $500,000 last time because we weren't sure if we were going to make payroll, said Betsy Briscoe, CEO. We didn't need it at the time, but we probably are going to need it to clear payroll this week. I didn't know if you want to approve that again like you did last time, up to $500,000. I don't know that we'll need all $500,000. We're supposed to get about $140,000 to $150,000 this week, but not all of it will be here before payroll. That will still leave us short by about $400,000. Pecos County Judge Joe Schuster explained that since it wasn't used last time, a new motion was needed. The motion was made to approve the transfer if necessary. Briscoe also reported overtime of 429 hours and an accounts payable amount of $545,000. The hospital's budget was projected to be at $4.5 million deficit for 2023 when it was approved a year ago by the county commissioners. The commissioners awarded a bid for 50,000 tons of crushed limestone, 1 and 2 flex base, and 2 bids for 10,000 tons of crushed aggregate state grade to M&J Trucking and Materials out of Fort Stockton. The crushed aggregate will cost $19 per ton with a delivery charge of $85 per hour, and the crushed limestone is $7.50 per ton plus the $85 delivery charge. Delivery locations include Fort Stockton, Ira Ann, Imperial, Kyanosa, Harold Road, and Puckett Road. The commission amended the contract with BBT Telecom, which the county entered into August 22, 2022, for its broadband expansion project. Funds used for the project are from the American Rescue Plan Act. BBT will construct an additional nearly half mile of aerial fiber to 102 South Underwood in Ira Ann at a cost of $60,000. The contract is extended by 30 days to December 31st, 2023. The original Planet of the Apes is to be shown March 18th at the Nelson Street Theater. The Fort Stockton Film Society is showing the 1968 sci-fi film Planet of the Apes at 7 p.m. on March 18th at the Nelson Street Theater. As an added feature, there will be a classic Warner Brothers cartoon screened just before the film. Planet of the Apes was released in 1968, decades before computer-generated imagery was invented, so all the actors had to wear prosthetic ape masks. The film was considered groundbreaking at the time and was nominated for 2 Academy Awards. Planet of the Apes script was written by Rod Serling of The Twilight Zone and starred Charlton Heston, Roddy McDowall, Kim Hunter, and Linda Harrison. Amazingly, the original 68 film spawned 9 sequels, as well as a 2001 remake that used digital imagery to create the ape characters. The screening will start at 7 p.m., with doors opening at 6:30. Admission is free. Planet of the Apes will be shown at the Nelson Street Theater. For more information, visit the Fort Stockton Community Theater site on the web.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Monahans News for Thursday, March 9th. Third place finish for Lady Lobos at regional powerlifting meet. Team earns 10 medals, 3 state-bound. The story was written by Armando Flores. Monahans Ward County Event Center was a major hub in the Texas High School Women's Powerlifting Association world for Region 1 when it hosted the Class 6A down through the Class 4A Division 2 regional powerlifting meets this weekend. The Lady Lobos took over the center on Saturday for their chance at a regional medal and to punch their tickets to the state meet in 2 weeks. 12 teams competed in the Class 4A Division II small school division, with the Monahans Lady Lobos finished in third place at meet's end. Perennial Region 1 powerlifting power, Periton, paced the field with 51 points to win the team championship. Fort Stockton followed with 43 points, while Monahans ended with 34 points. Head coach Fred Howard said, quote, "It was absolutely amazing effort by all the girls. We had girls perform at their highest levels all year. 10 girls earned medals. We had 6 school records either tied or broken, including 3 records held by former lifters who were present at the meet. It was really cool for the record holder to watch the record fall." End quote. 2 Lady Lobos, Milagros Armendariz and Adriana DeFranco, won regional titles in their respective weight classes. Armendariz won the 132-pound weight class with a total weight of 755 pounds, which included a squat of 305 pounds, a bench press of 145 pounds, and finished out the day with a deadlift of 305 pounds. DeFranco captured the 220-pound weight class title as she totaled 975 pounds. She recorded a 410-pound squat, a 205-pound bench press, and deadlifted a total of 360 pounds. Quote, "Milagros Armendariz broke one record and tied another held by former Lady Lobo powerlifter and state medalist Lyric Willis. Dayanara Ontiveros broke the bench press record of former Lady Lobo powerlifter and state champion Sydney Calderon, who was working the meet at a table," Howard said. Howard was not only ecstatic at his team's performance, but also the help plenty of his lifters from the past have offered over the years. Quote, "At one point in the meet, I looked around and saw 8 former lifters working the meet," Howard said. "I was in awe to have them all there still helping the program. I am truly blessed to have kids that continue to help even after they finished lifting." End quote. In addition to Armendariz and DeFranco, Micah Vega's second place finish in the 259-plus class will also be advancing to the state meet. Vega finished with a total weight of 740 pounds with a 300-pound squat, a 170-pound bench press, and a deadlift of 270 pounds. In a break from what has been the norm, this year's Texas High School Women's Powerlifting Association state meet will be held in Frisco, Texas, instead of Corpus Christi. The meet is scheduled for March 15th through 18th. Rivas charged with two counts of indecency with child under 14. The story was written by Christy Sullivan. A Monahans man is facing a pair of felony charges for alleged child-related sex crimes. Eric Rivas, age 38, of 113 South Betty, was arrested Thursday, March 2nd, and is currently being held on bonds totaling $60,000, as well as on a parole warrant for a previous charge of possession of a dangerous drug. According to Ward County Sheriff Ferran Valle, deputies conducted an investigation on Monday, February 13th, into allegations of indecency with a child younger than 14 years of age against two victims. Rivas was named as the suspect in the case. Quote, through the course of investigation, Ward County Sheriff's Office gathered forensic evidence indicating probable cause existed to seek a warrant, Valle said. Two separate arrest warrants were issued by Ward County Justice of the Peace Precinct 2 and 3, Judge Roy Bean, for the arrest of Rivas for two counts of indecency with a child by contact, a second-degree felony. Judge Bean refused to release copies of the arrest affidavits and warrants for Rivas subsequent to an open records request by the News. There are two types of indecency with a child, by sexual contact and by exposure. Indecency with a child by contact occurs when a person engages in sexual contact with a child younger than 17 years of age and who is not the person's spouse and or who causes the child to engage in sexual contact. Indecency with a child by exposure occurs when a person exposes the anus or any part of the genitals in the known presence of a child or causes the child to expose his or her anus or any part of their genitals with the intention to sexually arouse or gratify. Rivas was subsequently arrested for the outstanding warrants in the 1100 block of South Betty and taken to Ward County Jail. New effluent water pump station up and running. The story was written by Jan Cranfield. The city's eight ballparks, football soccer field, golf course, and some areas of school property will now be watered by a state-of-the-art watering system. The land for the parks is city-owned, but is maintained by Ward County Precinct 4 Commissioner Eddie Nelms' work crew. Quote, in the past, we have had to spend an excessive amount of time cleaning sprinkler heads when they would get clogged with dirt or anything else the pond pumps would send through the lines. Unclogging 300 sprinkler heads several times a day doesn't leave much time to get the other work done, Nelm said. The recycled water ponds on the north side of 15th Street, across from the nursing home, are the source of the water for the ballparks. Water is fed into the large ponds through recycled sewer water, perch pond overflow, rainwater drainage from various sections of the city, and Village Farms water, which has reached their company's recycling limit. Quote, in June of last year, the Ward County Commissioner's Court approved $222,000 for upgrades to the city's effluent irrigation system for the approximately 45 acres of sports fields owned by the city and maintained by the county. The effluent irrigation system at the time was around 40 years old, while the original life expectancy was about 25 years. The city hired the same company that had upgraded the golf course irrigation system and oversaw the installation and startup of the new system. Quote, Commissioner Eddie Nelms' Precinct 4 crew built a metal building to enclose and protect the pumps and controls. The city appreciates the great relationship with the county, and cooperation on projects and services enhance both entities' abilities to provide needed services and improve quality of life, Monahans City Manager Rex D. said. Effluent is a means of irrigation method used by cities and counties for watering large areas. It means the water is treated wastewater, which flows or is pumped out of a wastewater treatment lagoon. Quote, my crew built the building that houses the pump station in such a way that it can be lifted straight up away from the pumps for ease of access to the equipment for routine maintenance or repair. It will have foam insulation sprayed inside because the pumps are heat sensitive, and heat lamps for temperature control during the winter months. The new digital control panel is housed in a separate building that contains new wiring. There will be enough water now for the new sprinkler heads to cover 40 feet to 50 feet with each head, Nelm said. Quote, "It sure beats the year we had to have water trucks haul water in during the extreme drought we were suffering from. The playing surface has to be wetted down repeatedly during the season, and that will be a much easier task now," end quote. The sports fields are in use from March through December, hosting 400 games for local players, as well as tournaments hosted for area teams. The fields have accommodated as many as 2,500 spectators and players when a tournament is in progress on all fields. This year's season will kick off with Super Saturday on March 25th, starting at 8 o'clock to 8:30 that morning at the fields, and will run until about 2 p.m. Woman protecting dogs gets hit in chest. The story was written by Christy Sullivan. A Monahans woman trying to stop a man from killing her dogs last Tuesday was struck in the chest with a bat. Monahans police officers were called to 2100 South Betty on February 28th in reference to a disturbance involving a weapon. Officers spoke to the victim, identified as Debbie Morris, age 38, of Monahans, who said she was struck in the chest with a bat by Terry Hayden Moore, age 64, of 2100 South Betty. Quote, "The victim told officers she and Moore were arguing over the dogs in the house, and Moore wanted the dogs gone," MPD Captain Stormy Law said. Moore retrieved a bat from the home in an attempt to kill the dogs. Quote, "Moore told officers he was tired of Morris turning his house into a doghouse and got the bat to get rid of the dogs," Law said. In an attempt to stop Moore and protect her dogs, the two tussled over the bat, and Morris was hit in the chest with the bat. Moore was inside the residence when officers arrived and admitted to getting the bat to get rid of the dogs, but denied striking Morris with it, Laws added. Moore was subsequently arrested and taken to Ward County Jail. He was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony. He is currently being held on a $15,000 bond. The offense carries a penalty of 2 to 20 years confinement in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice and/or a fine up to $10,000. Scouts replace falling, tattered flag at veteran's grave. The story was written by Christy Sullivan. Boy Scouts Troop 675 members took quick action last weekend and replaced the fallen and tattered American flag on the grave of Monahans legendary coach and Army veteran Paul Abels at Monahans Memorial Cemetery. Abels served in the U.S. Army from 1958 through 1960. It all started after Abels' daughter, Kim Branham, contacted the Boy Scouts office in Midland to see if they knew of anyone who could help her fix the flag at the grave. The flagpole had been damaged and began falling over after the recent heavy winds in the area over the last few weeks. Midland Scouts then put her in contact with Scoutmaster Daniel Bergman. Quote, "She contacted me last Friday and told me about the flag and asked if there was any way we could help," he said. Branham previously tried propping the flag up, although she couldn't get it to stay. Quote, "When we got there on Saturday, the flag was leaning so bad it was about a foot from touching the ground," Bergman said. Bergman rounded up two of his scouts, Andrew Bergman and Hunter Boone, to replace the flag and pole more securely in the ground. Quote, "The boys dug a hole about 2 feet deep and just big enough to put a 2-inch pipe inside to use as an anchor for the new pole," he said. The scouts then attached the new flag to a new pole, which fit nicely inside the pipe in the ground. Branham expressed her appreciation to Bergman and the scouts by saying, quote, "Andrew, Hunter, and Daniel are the pillars of the community. Dad would be so proud of these boys and their families for teaching them great values." End quote. Bergman took possession of the tattered flag and said it would be retired in a ceremony at a later time. Quote, "Retiring the worn flags shows the scouts the importance of the flag retirement and why they are retired in such a manner," Bergman said. During the ceremony, the stripes are separated from the blue star field and the stripes separated into the red and white colors. The blue field is to stay intact because it represents the union of the 50 states and no one should ever let the union be broken. The white stripes are placed in the pit, then red, and finally the blue star field. Once the flags are committed to the flames, the fire burns until there is nothing but ashes. The ashes are collected to be buried in a place which will never be disturbed. Anyone interested in donating a flag to be retired can contact Bergman at 432-923-2413.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Far West Texas. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.